Well, that was just great singing. I really enjoyed that. And, brother, I'm going to ask your permission again. If you don't mind me sending that around the country, and for those that will be receiving the tape, this is from the Wilmington Bible Chapel, the choir that you've heard. Many times people ask me that whereabouts the singing comes from. Bible, this is the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, a great portion of God's Word for this time and this season. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's coat. We're going to stop our reading right there for a few moments and just comment on this great portion of God's Word. As you think of these people hearing about the resurrection of Lazarus as he was brought forth from the dead. When I was over in that part of the country where Lazarus' tomb is at Bethany, I remember going down into that, and there was a big fat man with us, and he went down into that tomb. And you don't go the way that they put in Lazarus' body into the tomb, but you go up a hill and go down from the top and then down the little staircase-like, and you squeeze through a little opening. I don't know why they don't make it easier and go through the other side of the mountain where they had it at when he was buried, because they had never gotten his body down the staircase that we went down. Well, the fat man was with us, and I looked at him, and I looked at that little hole, and I said, he'll never get into that tomb. And when he tried, he got in and he got stuck. And I didn't know what we were going to do to get him out, but we finally got him out of Lazarus' tomb. But I'll never forget that sight of seeing that man. We needed the Lord there to say, come forward and get the fat man out. But anyway, it was a wonderful thing to see this portion of the world where even the Lord Jesus Christ performed this great miracle. As you think of when he came out of the grave, he came bound with his foot, with all the grave clothes around him. And no doubt this kind of had a wall to get out of that tomb. And you remember what the Lord said? Loose him and let him go. Whenever I get to that portion, I always like to remind the Christians, we're the ones, even like the disciples of the Lord that day, are to help those that have been loosed from the chains of sin. They have been bound with the grave clothes of sin. And maybe there's someone here this morning that you're still in sin sorrow. You're living a sinful life, and sin has a hold of you. And there seems like there's no way out for you. But, beloved, you're just like a Lazarus. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ needs to come to you and say, arise, come forth. But when you're saved, you come forth with a lot of grave clothes, just like Lazarus. And you know, these brothers and sisters in Christ, what they're sent for to help you to unwind those grave clothes. Now, what am I trying to say? A lot of us, when we were, before we were saved, we were in all kinds of trouble of the world, all kinds of sin. And those grave clothes are still on us. How are we going to overcome some of the habits that we've been doing for 20 and 30 years, or 10 years, or 5 years? We've gotten entrenched in certain habits. Now, God wants those grave clothes to go. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's why, brother and sister in Christ who are saved, you and I have the privilege to go to these young people, these old people that were just saved, and start to unloose those grave clothes, to set them free. Because if you're still bound on some sin or some habit in your life after you've been saved, beloved, that's just the grave clothes that needs to go. We need to be holy and spotless, for the Lord God has called us holy people. He has called us saints. And some people don't make saints until they've been buried 100 years, and then they claim them saints. But I want you to know something here. Saint Medley standing before you this morning. I might not look much like a saint, but I'm not an ape, because you're either a saint or you're an ape. You have never been born again. And if you're born again, you're a saint of God. And I can call you Saint So-and-so, and you can call me Saint So-and-so. Now, a lot of times you don't act like saints because we still have a lot of those old grave clothes. We have to get rid of those grave clothes, don't we? And start to live the kind of nature that God has imparted to us. But you know, as these individuals heard of this great miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to that tomb, and you know, when you look into those scriptures and you study it and you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, it looked like he was late. It looked like he was late because you remember when the messenger came from Mary and Martha, he said, the one whom you love, Lord, is sick. So many times when we pray, we say, oh God, the person that loves you. That's the wrong way to pray. They beseech the Lord in the right way. Lord, you love Lazarus. You love him. Not that Lazarus loved the Lord. And beloved, none of us love the Lord like we should. But he loves us. Isn't that great? He loves us and gave himself for us. And beloved, you know the Lord said, this sickness is not unto death, but he died. And it looked like the Lord was too late. And beloved, as I think of that great portion of God's word in even the 10th chapter of John and also the 11th chapter of John, as we think of the rising of Lazarus, what a wonderful portion of God's word that is. But you know, Mary and Martha were kind of hurt at the Lord. And sometimes, beloved, when we don't think a prayer has been answered, we too are hurt at the Lord. And we think the Lord has forgotten us. You remember when Martha met the Lord, she came to meet him when she heard he was coming. But Mary didn't. She stayed home. And so, but yet Mary was the one that did more worshiping than Martha. Isn't it an amazing thing that we see in God's word over and over again? Illustrations to touch our heart and to bring us close to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary did come. Beloved, then we notice she anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a great portion of God's word that is. And now we come to this part where after they had the dinner for the Lord and Mary had washed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and anointed them. What a great time it is for the children of God to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak to them. And a lot of people came into Jerusalem to remember the Passover feast. We even noticed in our reading this morning that some Greeks came. And they said one thing as they met Philip. Remember what they said? We would see Jesus. Oh, I hope this morning everybody that came to this assembly this morning to hear the word of God, that you thought in your mind and heart, I want to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you don't see the speaker, for he's not much to look at. But praise God, I have a wonderful Savior to lift up before you. One that can cleanse you from all sin. One that can bring you close to God the Father. And he can bring you into a new relationship to God if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time that we come to a church service, we would say under our breath as we enter into the assembly hall or wherever it is, we should say, oh, we would see Jesus. We didn't come to just hear a sermon. We didn't come just to hear a choir. We didn't come just to hear good singing. We came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it's all about. We would see Jesus. Oh, beloved, these people found out that the Lord was coming to the Passover. But you know, he wasn't going to be at the Passover. Because this year, instead of attending the Passover, he was going to be the Passover lamb. They heard he was coming. They had come into Jerusalem. They were so thankful before they had the privilege to see Jesus. They heard about the raising of Lazarus. And even the leaders of Jerusalem at that time wanted to kill Lazarus and do away with him because he spoke of the power of the Son of God, that he could raise one from the dead. And beloved, you might be dead in trespasses and sins, but God can raise you from the dead and give you a new life. Isn't that great? He can take the vilest sinner, I don't care how deep in sin you might have gone. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you and can set you free. What a great thing it is to be free from the shackles of sin and to be bound by the torment of hell and destruction that's before those that are living wicked lives. Beloved, remember one day we're going to have to do with this Lord Jesus Christ, for God has sent all judgment into his hand and not into the hand of any other. We're going to either bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ today on this earth, or we will in the future when we stand before him at the great white throne. What a great thing it is that we have the privilege to bow our knee today to him. But you notice these people, as they find out that he's coming, they took branches in the 13th verse of a palm tree and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Oh, salvation is of the Lord. They cried out, Hosanna. Blessed is he. It is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. One of the other portions of God's word says it a little bit different, and I've been keeping on quoting that. When you're used to some of the Matthew, Mark versions of it, you get kind of tongue-twisted when you repeat it if you don't look at the words that's before you. But you notice what it says, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were blessing him. They were crying out, and they were taking those palm branches, and they were putting them down before this coat. Others took off their garments, and they put down the garments for the beast to walk upon. And they were giving him what we would call today the red carpet treatment. You know, when our president gets off the plane, you will see just before he gets off the plane and before his feet touch the ground, there will be a couple men there, and they'll roll out a red carpet. And they pull it right to the fence where the president of the United States is getting off the plane. And there are the microphones where he's going to speak. They did the same thing for our astronauts when they got off the first spaceship into orbit. They came and they were on the carrier, remember, and they were taken and they rolled out the red carpet. They gave them red carpet treatment. The red carpet. Well, that's what the people are doing here. They're thrilled with the Lord Jesus Christ because they have heard of the great miracles. And some of them saw the miracle of the rising of Lazarus. They were so touched by it. They said, surely this is the King of Israel. Now they're going to bring the palm branches and put before the animal. They're going to put their garments before him. Beloved, some just thought enough of him of palm branches. They were probably the ones that just heard about the miracle. But I believe the ones that took off their garments and spread it before that coat as he carried the Lord Jesus Christ, they put them down on the ground to let that coat walk upon them. They were the ones that no doubt experienced the sight of watching this one that was dead and now is alive. They put all that they had for the Lord Jesus Christ. They put their garments down for him. And beloved, that's the difference between a true believer and one that has just heard about it. Beloved, when you're saved and you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, this world fades into insignificance. And sometimes after we've been saved a while, we get used to our Christianity. Oh, God forbid that I'll ever get used to being saved. I hope I never get to the place where I get so complacent that I take it for granted. And I start to go back to the world, to the leek and the garlic and the onion. You always get a bad breath from it. And beloved, any time you go back into the world, you get a bad breath as well because you lose your testimony and the power with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if some Christians here this morning have leeks and garlic on your breath. You're back in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ saved you from that world. He brought you forth a living person.
He set you free, and you have no business in the affairs of the world. Only to draw an income out, to be able to bless other people's hearts that are traveling to eternity. And beloved, that's one reason I'm doing everything in my power to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any place I can go, I try to give it out. Case ministry, on the radio, on television, anything I can do to get out the gospel, because it's the greatest thing that can save this world from destruction. Oh, beloved, here we notice that these people thought a lot of the Lord. They wanted to cry out to God. Let's turn to the book of Zechariah for a moment. The book of Zechariah, the 9th chapter, and I want you to notice the 9th verse of the book of Zechariah. The 9th verse of the 9th chapter, the book of Zechariah, says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." And beloved, this is talking about this very day in which we are living. Palm Sunday, what we call it. When they took those palm branches and they started to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, O daughters of Jerusalem. It's a shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. And that's what they were doing. They were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna!" Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to shout, "Hosanna." Salvation is come. Salvation is come from the Messiah. Oh, beloved, there was going to be a terrible thing to come to pass. As we look even at Psalm 118, if you don't mind turning in your Bibles, once again to Psalm 118, and sometimes we don't link these verses up with the Passover feast, but beloved, it's all there together in that 118th Psalm. And notice, as it even brings out in, let me bring out the verse, In the 21st verse, it says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Hosanna has become my salvation. Hosanna means save now, save now. And beloved, notice what the next verse says, the 22nd. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corners. Who was refusing the Lord Jesus Christ? The ones that are refusing the Lord Jesus Christ was even the leaders of Israel, the religious leaders. And beloved, the greatest chaos on this earth today is religion. Religion is a curse of the day, because men are following religion instead of Christ. Those that are Christians are not in a religion, they are worshiping a person. We're not worshiping a system. And if we're worshiping a system, we're worshiping the wrong thing. We need to turn our hearts and lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ and remember that we need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we need to worship. But notice what else it says. They rejected the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Turn the tape over, please. Thank you.
The Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, beloved, we use that verse many times. I quote it, and you quote it as well. We get a beautiful day, and we say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be ye glad in it. And we have no thinking of where the verse is even referring to. It's referring to the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to ride on that coach into Jerusalem through the eastern gate with the people taking the palm branches and putting before the beast, taking their garments and putting before the beast, and crying out, save us! Hosanna! Save us! They realized that Jesus Christ was the Savior, the Son of God, and they were worshiping Him. And beloved, what a great thing it is to see that their eyes were opened up. For you notice what it says there, this is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. Hosanna, in other words. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Beloved, you see, this whole chapter goes in right from the day of the entering of the eastern gate of the Lord Jesus Christ riding upon that beast, right to the altar where the sacrifice would be bound. But there was no need to bind the sacrifice in the Old Testament. Why should they bind it? At least there in the altar, they had a horn on each one of the corners of the altar, and they would take that sacrifice, but they would kill the sacrifice beside the altar. And then they take the offering and put it on the altar. But they didn't need to bind that sacrifice because it was a dead sacrifice. Why did it say bind the sacrifice? Because there would be a day when God would allow His Son to be bound to the cross of Calvary, not with just nails driven in His hands and feet, but with the cords of love that He had for you and me when He was being made sin for us. Even as that animal on the sacrifice on the altar in the Old Testament was for their sin offering. A man had to bring an offering to the Lord, and it was accepted for him. So we come to Calvary, and we accept the death of Christ on the cross to pay for our sin, all of our iniquities. Oh, I love to preach on the first chapter of the book of Leviticus, and it seems like I referred to it so many times, but I'm not embarrassed in repeating it over and over again. For it says there, a man must come of his own voluntary will. He must put his hand on a sacrifice. And the priest is there. And it says he, the one who's offering the sacrifice, has to slit the throat. Beloved, have you ever seen Jesus Christ dying for your sin? Have you ever seen you're the one that nailed him to the cross? It was your sin. He bled and died for you. Beloved, until you see Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary for you, you will never be saved. You go to the pit of hell itself. For we're only saved when we see the sacrifice of Christ. It was my sin that nailed him there. And I have to forget about the rest of the world. So many times I ask people, do you realize you sin? Oh yes, sir, everybody sins. That has no meaning. Beloved, you never come to the door of salvation until you see, I am the sinner. I am the one that should be on the cross. And when you see that, then you too can be saved. When you accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and say, I believe that he died there for me and shed his blood, and I trust him to take my place. Beloved, anybody sitting in this audience this morning can be saved right where you sit. By looking at that sacrifice, you say, it's too easy. It wasn't easy for God. It cost God his beloved Son. It cost the Son of God his life, that he might die. And that's what he brings forth even in the next part of the verses that even our brother referred to in the first service. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus Christ had to die. He bore in his own body on the tree our sins, that we might be set free. Aren't you glad of that? I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm telling you the truth. It just makes me want to say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Who can take a poor lost sinner and lift him from a miry place and set him free? You know, a lot of times when people preach on this, and I'm not trying to be hard on preachers because I'm one myself, and when a preacher criticizes preachers, he's just criticizing himself. So I'm not criticizing preachers or brethren or whoever speaks. But you know, so many times we read this portion wrong. I've heard men get up, and if somebody preaches next Sunday, I don't know who it is, but if they say it, don't you say anything to them if they say it. But anyway, you just pass it over. But you know, they say we're so fickle. This group of people was such a fickle group of people. They were taking their palm branches once. So 6 days before the crucifixion, they were putting palm branches before him, taking off their garment and spreading it before him and saying, Hosanna, and the next day they were crucifying him. That's a lie from the pit of hell itself. It wasn't that people. It wasn't that people. No, no, never make that mistake. Those people were where every good person should have been. If you search the scriptures in Luke, you search the scriptures in Matthew, you will see they bargained with Judas. We don't have time to go into the scripture, but they bargained with Judas in this light. They said, Judas, tell us as he went to them, and as he conveyed with them, they said, do it in the absence of the multitude. Do it in the absence of the multitude. Why? Because they feared the multitude, the scriptures say. That's why Jesus Christ was taken at 12 o'clock at night, had 6 trials before 9 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because all of these people that had said Hosanna, who put their coats before him, who put the palm branches before him, were where most people should be, in bed asleep. Who are the ones always out late at night? It's the wicked ones. It's the ones that love darkness rather than light. And beloved, never get the two groups mixed up. When they woke up in the next morning, they were thinking of seeing Jesus at the feast. They were thinking of seeing Jesus at the Passover. And maybe he'd perform another miracle. And when they got out of their hotel rooms and their inn rooms, they came out and they heard a stir. What's happening? Jesus is being crucified. Jesus is being crucified. Why? What evil has he done? Well, he raised Lazarus, and religious leaders had 6 trials last night. Do you know everything was wrong with the trial of Christ? You know the Sanhedrin, after they made a decision, were supposed to go out 2 by 2 after they were making a death sentence on a person, go out of that court and stay together for a day and not come back until the following day to make their decision if he should be put to death. The Sanhedrin didn't do it. They went out the same night that they crucified him. Pilate had him crucified. Do you realize that Herod had to be awakened? Pilate had to be awakened. The chief priest had to be awake. Beloved, it looked like it was a conspiracy through the whole thing, and even Pilate's wife sent a message, if I've suffered many things in a dream, don't have anything to do with this just man. But he wouldn't listen to his wife. Herod and Pilate became friends. And it wasn't long after that Pilate lost his life. But he lost the friendship of Christ. I would rather be a friend of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, than a friend of the biggest dictator or the biggest king in the world. You might be treated royally by the kings of this world, but you're never going to be treated as royally as you will be when you're with Him in heaven. For the 14th chapter of John tells us He went to prepare a place for us. Don't we have a wonderful Savior in Jesus Christ our Lord? And oh, beloved, as I think of this great portion of God's Word before us this morning as we think of Palm Sunday, I'm just wondering if there's one person here, you're like the crowd that crucified Him. You're saying, away with this man. Who did they get to testify against Him? Did they get this group? No, they weren't there. That's why the priests and the leaders got together that mob with swords and staves. Those wicked men that hated righteousness, they hated to be in the presence of Jesus because He could look at them and say, I know what you're thinking. You're of your father the devil. And beloved, sometimes a man doesn't like his wife too well because she's been converted and she's saved and it seems like she can read the thoughts in his mind. And sometimes a wife doesn't like her husband too much after they've been married for a long time and then he gets saved. And after he gets saved, he doesn't want to go to the places where they used to go. And she despises her husband. And she says, when I'm around him, it seems like he can see right through me. He looks like he can see what I'm thinking. I don't want to have him. So she ends up in a divorce. Oh, beloved, we notice that God, the Spirit, wants to work in the hearts of men and women. And maybe there's a couple here that your husband saved or your wife is saved. And you need to come together. Well, why don't you give your heart to Christ and you have your family reunited in the service of God? That's the greatest salvation that we can have. And I'll tell you what, if your home is ready to go on a rock, if you're on a rock, Christ Jesus, your home won't go on a rock. They won't. They won't dissipate. And beloved, the only reason that there's a divorce writing and a sanction for it in the Word of God is because of the hardness of men's hearts, and it shouldn't be even named in the Church of Jesus Christ. We should surrender our hearts and lives to each other and love our wives as Christ loved the church. And the women should be teaching their younger children to love their husbands even as they themselves love their husbands. If we really got Christianity, if we really have Christ, we will love one another. And we'll overlook their faults. Because when I look up there, I see how much He has to forgive me daily. Thank you, Lord, for being so patient with a fellow like me. Aren't you glad the Lord's patient with you? Beloved, maybe there's one person here this morning. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You need to turn that life over to Jesus Christ. You need to come and just like, so to say, just say a palm branch and put before Him. Say, Lord, I come. I come. I bring myself to Thee. Beloved, I'm wondering this morning if there's one person here, you need to be saved. Oh, you've been in sin's darkness. You've been in this world's traffic. You think you're having a good time, but you're not. You never have a good time until you get to a place where you know your sins are forgiven. That's having a good time. That's rejoicing and saying, hallelujah! Maybe Jesus will come today. I wish He'd come today. I wish He were. Beloved, if He'd come today, the only one reason that I wouldn't want Him to come is maybe there's some sinner not ready. And you missed the rapture. And you'd have to go through the tribulation period. He's coming. And His coming is as certain as the dawn. Maybe there's one person this morning who'd like to be saved. Will you just look for a moment at the cross? Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth, made a cursed thing for you. And just look at that cross and say to yourself, Jesus is taking my place, my sin. He's taking my guilt. He died for me. And I will accept His death to pay for my sin. He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you for all your sins. And in closing, I'm going to use that verse like I used last time I was here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. This side of the pulpit represents us. This side represents Christ. This book represents our sin. God takes all of your sin and He puts it to the death of Christ. Where your sins are gone. If you let Him pay for them, they're paid for. But He doesn't leave you empty. Then He takes all of the righteousness of Christ and He puts it over here on you. You're made righteous. He's made sin. Isn't that great? And He gets rid of your sin. Isn't that great? Your sins can all be taken away this morning. If you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we bow in a word of prayer?
Then we'll have a closing hymn. Father, maybe there is one that needs to be saved here this morning. Oh God, save that soul. Bless that soul. And Father, if there's one that's far from Thee, we just pray that they might step out and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We ask in Thy Son's precious and worthy name. Amen. Could we sing in closing that familiar hymn? Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood is shed for me. That Thou bid me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Number 373. I'll be the first down to the front. If you'd like to be saved this morning, or maybe you have been saved during the message, you ask Christ to come into your life. Why don't you just come down? I'm not asking you to join this chapel. That's between you and the Lord after. But I'm asking you just to acknowledge of receiving Christ, to receive Him as Lord and Savior. Shall we stand and sing number 373? Didn't have the nerve to walk forward, but you'd like to be...